Everyone has a limit, and he's reached his. This is Nick's Take, a new type of political talk show about the current status of our country, elected officials, and the rest of the world. He'll give you his take on it from an old school anarchist with common sense and a true Generation Xer. Nothing is said from a place of hate, but this is an uncensored show. So if you're easily offended, turn back now, cupcake. Here's your host, the one and only Nick B.
Yes. It's time for, once again, for what we like to call Nick's Take, which is my take on the politics of today from the perspective of an old school anarchist, an anarchist with some conflictions. I'm not a perfect anarchist. I don't celebrate anarchy or practice anarchy the best or the way that most people might, but I damn sure am not a modern anarchist. I can tell you that. I consider myself more of an old school guy, but I lean into, I believe in a creator and a couple other things that anarchy doesn't believe in. And that's really the only places where I differ from anarchy. So I have voted for Democrats, I have voted for independents, I have voted for Republicans. I don't consider myself to have any kind of party affiliation, and I will attack both parties if I feel like they're doing something stupid. I feel like there's a bunch of things that Trump has said that are just idiotic, but at the same time, I think Kamala Harris has said way more idiotic stuff than he has. So Trump is the one that I kind of lean towards a little bit now. That doesn't mean I am a MAGA person. Because the whole phrase, make America great again, I think America's always been great. And again, I know a lot of people are going to hate that statement. Excuse me. I don't care. I believe America has been a great country and will remain a great country because of her people, not because of the political parties, not because of whoever may be running the country at the time, but because of her people. On this show, we tend to discuss mostly politics, but we will talk about the biggest stories of the day as well, if it is something that has come up. And again, this is a show. It's not really a podcast. This is another show because the ultimate goal is to get it on FM talk. And we have some talk stations that are talking about it, bringing us on board after the new year. So right now it's kind of, you know, preparation for that, for when we actually are on the air on the FM dial. I try not to cuss, and this only airs on Nick B TV, so we're good, pretty much. But some of the stories today that we're going to talk about are not necessarily completely, politically based. I mean, we got a couple of them that are politically based, and then two of them are more of a current events kind of a thing. Like the first story that we're going to talk about is an Olympian's life was destroyed because she forgot to scan asparagus and ham at a Walmart self-checkout. Now, I don't know what y'all do, but I hate self-checkout now. It used to be one of those things where when it was first starting, I liked it because I didn't really have to deal with the people and I could get out pretty quickly because I knew how to bag my stuff. I knew how I wanted it bagged. If I wanted a bag, I'm not there to chit-chat. I could get my stuff and get out. Well, now it ballooned up to where it was pretty much nothing but self-checkout. So when I would see the little old lady sitting at the cash register with the only one that had a person at it that everybody was avoiding because they were all in the self-checkout line, I started going back to the cashiers, and the small chat that they were making, it doesn't bother me as much as it used to. As long as they can still continue to scan and do the jobs that they do, I'm good. And a lot of places are getting rid of self-checkout, or they're eliminating a lot of it, because Target, by the way, just recently had like a multi-billion dollar makeover at most of their stores where they got rid of a large chunk of their checkout lanes in favor of new self-checkouts. And then they realized, hey, people are stealing from us. These people that are stealing, we might need to do something about. So they pretty much have shut down their self-checkout lanes. The one here in Birmingham that got the new look and the new makeover. They added two sections of self-checkout, and every time I've gone into that Target, they've both been closed. So self-checkout is something that a lot of these companies are pulling back on, mostly because theft is going through the roof. Now, I don't think this particular woman was trying to steal from Walmart. I legit believe as many times, I can tell you many times, if your buggy is full, sometimes you may forget to put something on the conveyor belt, and if you start loading your bags into the buggy, you can cover up something that you forgot to scan or something like that. So it's really easy, but Walmart has announced a zero tolerance policy for people that may steal, or what they call steal, from self-checkout. So this lady seems to be one of the first ones that kind of made national attention with it all. Canadian athlete Megan Pettipiece? Wow, that's a weird last name. She's 48 years old. She was arrested on March 28th in Indiana for theft, possession of marijuana, and possession of a controlled substance. The charges have since been dropped, but she lost her prestigious job as a result and says her career and reputation have been ruined. Her downfall began after Walmart security reported that the U.S. college softball coach had failed to scan a couple of food items during a grocery haul at a self-checkout machine. The police searched the woman and found three disposable vapes in her purse, along with two unopened blister packs containing anti-nausea medication Zofran. The charges were dropped against the athlete from Ontario on September 19th, but she said the incident changed everything. "It is bittersweet," she said. "I'm happy, obviously, the charges were dismissed. The sad part is the damage it did to my career. It has changed everything in my life. It's been 5 months, a living nightmare. I lost my career, I lost my job, the life I was building, and it's been very difficult." Pettipiece resigned as head coach of the NCAA Division I softball team at Valor Parisa University in Indiana shortly after the Walmart incident. Police detained the softball coach at the supermarket and found that $67 worth of items, including asparagus and ham, had not been scanned. She paid for the other items worth $167, according to local news. Okay. $67 worth of forgetting to scan something seems a bit excessive to me. Like, maybe she, and I'm not, you know, I'm just speculating. It kind of sounds like she might have intentionally forgotten to scan some items. Like, the things I'm thinking about, like, are like little trinket toys, or maybe like Tic Tacs or something that gets buried at the bottom of a full buggy, and you start covering it up before you realize you didn't put it on the conveyor belt, kind of a deal. I'm not talking about damn near $100 worth of stuff. That's pretty telling to me. $67 worth of stuff is not, I don't think that's an accident, because good God, how much asparagus and turkey did you buy? I know like a turkey is a good, if you got a big turkey, it could be 20 bucks, I guess, to 25 bucks. But it wasn't Thanksgiving time. So how much asparagus and turkey was this woman buying that was $67 worth that she forgot to scan? You know what I mean? Like, 67 bucks worth is that's a bit excessive, in my opinion. That's not a, oopsie, let me go back and scan it. That seems like pounds of stuff that you intentionally did not scan. It was during the arrest and subsequent search of Pettipiece that the police uncovered the vapes and nausea medication. "It was so ridiculous," she said, adding that she didn't realize self-checkout scanners hadn't read some of the items. Okay, so now she says she did scan everything. It just didn't boop when she took it across, is her argument. The former athlete added that the vapes did not contain nicotine or THC, and the pills were prescription belonging to an assistant coach who asked her to look after them when they had a softball game. That's not unheard of. "We both forgot about them," she said. The Valparaiso, I think is how you say it, Paraiso, Beacon's softball team confirmed that Pettipiece resigned on April 1st. So This is a bit of a confusing story, in my opinion, because it sounds like she legit thought they scanned, and the controlled substance that she was hit with was freaking nausea medicine. She had marijuana. Even my state doesn't criminally punish you for certain amounts of marijuana now. In most places, like in the city of Birmingham, where that whack job mayor is, they tend to not prosecute people that have, I think it's under an ounce. If you got under an ounce of weed, then you're good in the city of Birmingham. That's Birmingham, Alabama, people. Granted, it's a liberal haven right now, but still. The softball community is a tight-knit group, and it went through like wildfire, she told the Post. You really do learn who the people are that really believe in you and trust you are and are truly a friend for you. In the aftermath of her arrest, the court proceedings were delayed until her lawyer's request for dismissal was approved. Judges reviewed her account of the incident, proof of her assistant's prescription, and character reference letters before coming to a decision. Petapiece played softball for Canada at the 2000 Sydney Games and was an athlete for the 2004 Olympic team. So, it just goes to show that if you don't hear that boop when you are checking things out, and if you're not watching the little display as you're checking things out, you can get jammed up pretty bad. I don't understand why they searched her. I mean, I understand that it's protocol if you're searching her person, but how did she forget she had the nausea pills on her? Unless the game was that day, which the article doesn't say if the game was that day or not, when the assistant coach asked her to hold the prescription for her. Which, again, that's not an unheard of thing. Like, how many times have fellas, have you been out with your woman who doesn't necessarily carry a purse with her, and she just asks you, since you've got pockets, she's like, oh, just can you carry this in your pocket for me? Regardless of what it might be, that's how easily you can get jammed up for something. If your wife, let's just say, has a cough, and her cough medicine happens to have a controlled substance ingredients in it that they make meth out of, or she has Sudafed tablets or something like that, and she doesn't want to take her purse with her, or her outfit doesn't go with a purse, so she didn't bring one, but she brought her medicine, and she just wants you to hold it. If for some reason you get crazy at dinner or whatever, or there's some kind of fight that goes down, the police detain you, the moment they search you and find the cough medicine in somebody else's name, you get jammed up. That's kind of messed up, in my opinion. It really is. Now, I understand a lot of people are going to abuse that and say, oh, no, it's my girlfriend's, when it's really not. But at the same time, she got jammed up for something that she legit may have been holding for a friend that she just totally forgot about. Was just, you know, brain dead, I guess, at the time. She wasn't thinking. I could see how easily that would be. And the $67, if she legit scanned it and it didn't scan, I don't see how that's her fault. And because of Walmart's shitty equipment, her whole life was ruined from it. Now, granted, she resigned instead of getting fired, which I think she should have, you know, pushed to keep her job, and she should have fought to keep her job, because just resigning makes you, in my opinion, it makes you look a little bit more guilty, and you know, oh, they're going to fire me, and you don't want the firing on your record, so you just you get it over with, and you quit beforehand. So it's an interesting story. And again, everything that we talk about on this show will be up under show notes at the end of the show. I did it for yesterday's show, but episode 2 and 3, I haven't gone back to add the show notes to. And I'm doing another thing that's called Afterthoughts with a Cigar, where I go into something a little bit more that we didn't cover, or I didn't go into deep enough on this show. That'll be up under the show notes as well. Moving on into a hot topic that hasn't been discussed on this show, mostly because it's not something that I really was looking forward to getting into, but this is something that's just so stupid that I feel like I got to give my take on it, and it's Diddy. The whole thing with Diddy, and this article that I'm going to link to on this particular topic, when you go to nickstake.com and you search for episode 5 later today, you'll see an article that gives a com- complete timeline of his arrest. If you're interested in it, it'll be up under show notes, and I recommend if you're interested in it to go check it out. But a unearthed video is Combs predicting his arrest in an interview from 1999. Shortly after Sean Diddy Combs was arrested and charged with sex trafficking, a new video of the rapper emerged from 1999 when he said they would probably be arresting me, end quote, for his parties. So that's kind of crazy. And here's another thing. I need to sidestep this one for a little bit. There were legit a number of people that may have gone to these parties that may not have been the so-called sex trafficking freak-off parties where people were getting hurt and abused. There are a lot of people that are pointing out, and again, I know they may be trying to save their own ass, but at the same time, they're pointing out that a lot of the parties were held outside and that the craziness of it would have led, you know, like maybe the people went inside to do it, but a lot of people were at the parties when they were outside. And one person, and I can't remember who it was, I want to say it was like Jay-Z or somebody from Jay-Z's camp or something like that. Jay-Z hasn't said anything about it, but they said the parties that were announced, you never saw anything bad happening at those parties. But Diddy's house is known to be throwing parties a lot. So there were times when he would have a public party for everybody, and then there were times when he wouldn't. And they were leading to say that, you know, the times that he didn't invite everybody or the times that they weren't in the backyard is possibly when they were doing the freak-offs. And I want to say, a lot of people that may have gone to those parties never saw anything like that, because again, Marlon Wayans said that he had been to several of the parties and he never saw anything crazy. And he said he used to stay until like 3 a.m. Again, he could be covering his own butt. I get that. But at the same time, he kind of made the joke about it. He was like, what, y'all started all this at like, I left at 3:30. Y'all started at 3:31? Like, oh, he's gone now. Let's go ahead and let's do everything we got to do. And there's a lot more people that are saying that. I'm not saying Diddy is innocent of anything that they're claiming. I am saying that there could have been legit parties that were just parties outside from the ones where he was actually hurting people. You know what I mean? Like, there could have been different. And there's a lot more people that are coming out and saying that now. Not that they're trying to defend Diddy, because I don't think anybody at this point is defending Diddy. I think he's up there with R. Kelly, in my opinion, now. But the article goes on to say, it appears that Diddy knew that one day his parties could get him in trouble. Days after the rapper was taken into police custody in New York and charged with sex trafficking, racketeering, and transportation to engage in prostitution, a video of Combs from 1999 has come to light in which he appears to predict that he would one day be arrested for his elaborate parties. He said, quote, you're going to hear about my parties. They're going to be shutting them down. They're going to probably be arresting me, doing all kinds of, doing all types of crazy things just because we're going to have a good time, end quote. The Bad Boy Entertainment founder added, they won't even give me a permit for the parties, man. They don't want me to throw the parties no more, but we ain't going to stop. We're going to keep on having fun, bringing people together for all walks of life. When they started denying his permits for parties, I think is really when he took it up a notch. Because you don't need a permit for a private party. I know in California sometimes they require you to do it. If you're going to have more people than your driveway can handle, you have to get a permit. But I don't think just throwing a like a birthday party in your backyard for close friends is a permit issue thing. Because he used to throw his parties at like, you know, banquet halls and stuff like that. And they were still stuff of legends, but I don't think they were to the level of what they are or what they're rumored to be. Now, during the interview, Combs discussed the gatherings and how he was looking to, quote, bring up a different element into people's environment, end quote, which would help broaden their horizons. But according to him, people get intimidated. It's a lot of people out there that feel intimidated by it. I think his parties is what he's talking to. He noted that his reasons for throwing the parties at the time was about breaking down racial barriers, breaking down generational barriers, and bringing together people from all walks of life, connecting and getting together. So like with everything, they started off good, and then they got kind of, for lack of a better term, perverted and became bad. And while the music mogul acknowledged that he was known for his legendary gatherings, he claimed that it didn't make him feel special that they were at one time the hottest ticket in town. "It doesn't make me feel like a bigger person. It just makes me feel like I know how to throw a party." In the federal indictment following his September 16th arrest, Combs is accused of having abused, threatened, or coerced women and others around him to fulfill his sexual desires, protect his reputation, and conceal his conduct for decades. He pleaded not guilty to the charges of sex trafficking, racketeering, and transportation to engage in prostitution during his September 17th hearing, and was denied a $50 million bail package by the New York City judge. Recently, footage of Combs being arrested was obtained by TMZ, which showed him entering the lobby of the Park Hyatt, New York, in Midtown Manhattan with a large group, only to be quickly approached by federal agents who escorted him away and could later be seen walking out of the hotel in handcuffs. And again, if you want to know the whole timeline of what's gone down on this particular arrest or this particular story since it's happened, this article, when I link it up under show notes, will give you pretty much the entire timeline. Hold on. To pause real quick. I'm not saying pause legit. Just I'm texting for those of you that are listening to the audio. So here we go. My wife sent me a message. So forgive me. So the whole Diddy thing is something that's interesting because, again, like I said, there are a bunch of people that are saying, you know, not all of the parties were these crazy parties and all of that. And you got to kind of believe some of the people didn't really have bad intentions. Now, there is a very questionable photo of Leonardo DiCaprio at one of Diddy's so-called white parties, which he called them white parties because everybody wore white. Him and Jay-Z both kind of did white parties. I don't know what their obsession is over the white dress stuff. Like, completely white head to toe. And Leo looks blitzed out of his mind. Like, there's nothing there. He's gone. And Leo has since come out, or his people have since come out to dispel rumors about he never saw anything happening at the Diddy parties. And I'm like, you can clearly tell by that photo, Leo is on something. And Leo is having a good time. He's younger. I think it might have been right around Gangs of New York days, maybe right before that. It was definitely after Titanic. But he is surrounded by a bunch of men. And it's making a lot of people cringe in the video or in the photo. It's making a lot of people cringe from the photo. And again, you should look at it. I don't think I'll find that. I may try and link to it from an X post or something, but I don't have that in my notes as something to be added under show notes today. But I will try and find it and put it under show notes. That's a crazy thing. But when you look at the amount of people that attended Diddy parties, it's just about everybody in Hollywood. Barack Obama has attended some of his parties, again, allegedly. Michelle Obama, allegedly. Jay-Z, Beyonce were frequent guests. Chris Brown was there. Like Kevin Hart, there's a video of Kevin Hart emceeing one of his events that is kind of crazy and kind of questionable. Even Diddy, who clears to be inebriated beyond belief, is talking about how him and Usher used to wake up together, and then they would fight over the cereal. They would wrestle. So, yeah, there's that. And then Kevin, being Kevin, is like, "Puff, what the hell did you just say?" Like, making jokes about it. And again, the amount of people that went to those parties, though, that list has got to be probably just as long as Epstein's list, if I'm being honest. And a lot of people are trying to compare him and say he was the Epstein of the music world. And it may turn out to be true, but he hasn't gone to trial yet. All of the evidence hasn't really been presented. No arguments have been made. So it's kind of And I'm not trying to give him a way out, but it's a little bit too early to really be condemning him completely. Now, the difference when R. Kelly was arrested, or even when Bill Cosby was arrested before they went to trial, while people were so quick to condemn both of them, is because a lot of the evidence was public. Like, the reason R. Kelly ultimately got arrested is because there was video of him floating around on the internet allegedly having sex with an underage girl. That's what I heard. And then Bill Cosby, there were jokes and stuff being made about him doing what he ultimately was charged with doing for decades. And then finally, somebody was like, yeah, we're going to prosecute him. I did find it strange that it was right after he tried to buy NBC Universal that all of this happened to him. I was telling you guys on my other show that I was like, what did Diddy do to piss off the powers that be? And then I found an article where he tried to buy Paramount Global, which was Paramount CBS. There were some people that reported he was just trying to buy BET, which was, it's a partnership, I believe, with Paramount CBS. But he was legit trying to buy Paramount. But then there was another article that I read that said he got taken out because of the trouble that he made in the liquor world. Because Diddy was one of the first successful celebrities to have a liquor brand make him a lot of money. Other celebrities had brands at the time. Like, this is even before George Clooney sold his company for like $1 billion. But Diddy had Ciroc and was making a ton of money off of that. In fact, that's what ultimately pushed him close to the billionaire status. And then he had a disagreement with them or something, and he sued them over his payments because he found out they weren't paying him enough. And there's some people online that believe that's ultimately what pissed the powers off, the powers that be off, because the moment he was arrested, the board of Ciroc candy. He also founded a TV network called Revolt TV, and they stayed with him until, I think, like the third or fourth lawsuit, and then they got rid of him as well. I could be wrong about that, but they removed him from their board pretty quickly, too. Now it's time for a coffee break. When I say coffee break, it's really just a coffee sip. I just don't want y'all hearing me gluck on the mic when I'm swallowing it. That sounded bad. You know what I mean. So there's a whole list of things to unpack when it comes to Diddy. And we could sit here and do a whole show on Diddy. And again, if you want to see the timeline, it'll be up under show notes today. We're going to kind of move quickly today because I got some stuff that I got to go do. So today's show may be a little bit shorter of a show than it normally is. Y'all just going to have to bear with me. Okay, because again, the show is meant to be an hour, but it's only going to be as long as I can talk, or as long as my equipment will allow me to talk, because I do a show before this, which drains all of the equipment. So, the city where the Constitution was written, the city that was our first capital of the United States, was overrun by more than 200 vehicles of people just wreaking havoc in the city. There's a video that is circulating widely on the internet of a police car that's trying to get through the mob, and they're all over the car. They even open the back door and try to get in it. And that cop is by himself. It is ridiculous what happened in Philadelphia, and nobody was really trying to stop them. The Philadelphia Police Department is cracking down on illegal street racing and reckless driving after a series of dangerous incidents across the city over the weekend. During the incidents, one officer was injured and five police vehicles sustained damage. Many residents and witnesses in the area where the chaos ensued spoke about their concerns. The PPD assigned dozens of officers to address the illegal gatherings and will work with Mayor Parker to put a stop to the dangerous behaviors. Again, this was over the weekend, and it was insane. The mobs that just didn't even care that the cops were there. Like, I remember back in the day, if we were wilding out and doing something crazy, if the cops showed up, we scattered. Nowadays, they want to video themselves jumping on top of the car and putting it on the gram and everything else. And I'm like, y'all are stupid. Like, the amount of charges you're racking up by just trying to flex on the gram is ridiculous. Philadelphia police are deploying several efforts to address the increase of illegal street racing and reckless driving in the city after a series of overnight incidents. According to the police, between 9:30 and 4:30 a.m., officers responded to multiple locations where crowds ranging from 50 to over 200 vehicles had gathered. They say the incidents involved dangerous behavior, including drifting, setting off fireworks, starting trash fires, and vandalizing police cars. The timeline is at 9:30, they had approximately 50 cars were involved. Officers issued 9 citations under the nuisance car ordinance and 15 citations to spectators. One driver attempted to evade police by driving directly at officers, colliding with a civilian vehicle in the process. The driver has been identified and a warrant has been issued for their arrest. I get that these things get out of control, these car meets. There's a guy that does car meets in my local area, and he's got a pretty big following online. And he does it in one of the cities, one of the smaller cities in our area, in the Birmingham, Jefferson County, Shelby County area, that's known as Pelham. And Pelham got so sick and tired of these car meets, which were just people legit showing up to show off their car. Nothing crazy like what's happening in Philly. But they legit were just showing up to show their car. And you know how people will go like, as they're, you know, downshifting or coming around a corner or whatever to try to get everybody, oh, look at me. That's pretty much what they're doing, right? Pelham made it to where if you do that within their city, they can take your car. They will haul your car off automatically. And you get hit with, I believe, a felony now. I could be wrong on the felony charge, but it's a serious charge that they hit you with now. Do you know how easy it is to knock your car into neutral? If you bump the shifter into neutral and then you go to hit the gas, it's going to cause the RPMs that are, you're going to rev up. In the city of Pelham, you just got accused of a felony. That's how ridiculous the law is. And don't think that there won't be cops that will prosecute something like that. Could you imagine the soccer mom in the minivan accidentally knocking out of drive into neutral and then revving up at a light, and a cop hears that, pulls her over, takes the car, kicks all the kids out of the car, and then proceeds to tell her, oh yeah, by the way, you got a serious charge out of this now. Again, I know it's not to the level that was happening here in Philly, but still, that's one of the ridiculous laws that they have in one of my cities, this whole nuisance car BS that they do. I digress. This goes through a whole list of things that where the cops were called. One at 4:33 a.m. says more than 100 cars were reported drifting and setting rubbish fires. We're American, dude. Why you say rubbish? Trash. They were setting shit on fire. Even better. Officers were attacked, resulting in damage to multiple police vehicles, including broken windshields and flattened tires. Oh no, they had to change their tires. 6 of the incidents, police say, were particularly destructive, especially towards officers and their vehicles. Oh no. In total, 5 police vehicles sustained damage, including broken windshields and flattened tires from the incidents. Quote, these officers in the car, they're jumping on the windshield, they're physically doing damage. The deputy commissioner said, they don't care about your safety, their own safety. If you've all seen the videos with their behavior, they don't really care. It's just about how much chaos can we cause. Yes, that's entirely what it's about. And I might add, these things were organized. Almost like somebody paid for them to do these things. I'd be interested in seeing where they're getting the bail money too, for these people that were caught destroying property and setting rubbish fires. Just curious. Here's what's being done. The Philadelphia Police Department assigned dozens of officers to address the illegal gatherings over the weekend, focusing on large, dangerous vehicular gatherings that have been forming throughout the city. Forget the drug epidemic. Forget the homeless epidemic. We got to stop them kids and them cars, because God forbid they do some burnouts or set some rubbish on fire. Like again, I'm not trying to downplay what happened, but this is what they're focusing on. The murder rate in Philly is not that low. maybe try to stop people from killing people before you start worrying about a bunch of kids gathering in their cars and setting rubbish fires. Am I wrong? I mean, I've been wrong a lot. I just don't think this is as big of a deal as they're saying it is. Now, granted, once the cops show up and they start acting like idiots, yeah, then it becomes, you know, front page news and idiots like me end up talking about it. But leave the kids alone. At least they're not out there doing drugs, selling drugs, or killing people. They're just sitting around having a good time with their cars. And again, I know these things can get out of control usually, but for the most part, if the cops don't show up, so you got a few trash bins that are on fire. Like, really? I know it's still destruction of property, but in the grand scheme of things, of what's going on in Philly, this is what they're focusing on? Because it seems like they're sending out the entire army of the police to stop those cars from parking. You going to go to the malls, too? There's hundreds of cars there. They could easily just show up to the mall, park at the mall, and just sit out and chill. In fact, one might suggest that as an option. Officers in the criminal intelligence unit will gather data to learn these events prior to them occurring. See, this is where, this is the type of shit Thomas Jefferson was warning us about. In the city where he wrote the greatest breakup letter of all time and then helped draft the Constitution of the United States. They are now conducting investigations into learning about these car meetups. Granted, they went out of control, right? I get it. They caused thousands of dollars in damages. I get it. But did those damages really happen before the cops showed up? I don't think the kids that are doing these car meets just all of a sudden said, hey, this weekend in September, we're going to start setting rubbish fires and destroying police cars and flattening their tires. I don't think it was just something that they planned. I think they've been doing this as a form of rebellion against the police that have been telling them to stop doing it. And when the cops showed up, they had enough. I could be wrong. Could be the anarchist in me. But I don't care. Philly police have a message to those participating in the illegal activity. Do not think for a moment that you will get away with it and that you will not be held accountable. There are cameras everywhere. There is a considerable amount of evidence to go through. PPD will use that evidence to make arrests when warranted. They just threatened you by using Big Brother. There are cameras everywhere. Yeah. Remember when people were protesting the amount of cameras that were being put up because they said one day it would encroach on your freedoms and they would just be able to say, if you ran a red light, oh, look, we saw you run this red light. Here's your ticket. They said, nah, that's never going to happen. We're putting the cameras up for like traffic congestion and stuff. And here they are using them to gather intelligence on a bunch of car people getting together. Again, I understand that this particular meet got out of hand. But now they essentially just got the authorization to spy on every corner. Oh, got to make sure there's no cars parking together. Oh, look, there's a parking deck. Bunch of cars. What are we going to do about it? Arr. That's how stupid it sounds to me. The PPD is continuing to work with Mayor Parker to crack down and put a stop to the dangerous incidents. The Parker administration supports its strong and unwavering and instrumental in efforts to enhance public safety and bring those responsible to justice. Never mind the drugs that people are passing out from on the street. Never mind the homelessness. Never mind the murder rate. We got to stop those damn cars for setting fire to rubbish. Are you kidding me, people? Do you not see what I'm trying to say? Again, I understand 200 people, this got out of control. Some police got their feelings hurt. I get it. Their windshields got bashed. They had to change their tire. It sounds horrible. I get it. But at the same time, there are bigger issues than this. Yet this is making national news. Okay. Police say due to having officers dedicated to the issue on the weekends, they issued a number of citations for violating city ordinances and made a few arrests. They said they felt the behavior was retaliatory, but still warned more arrests are coming. Like I said, we have your picture. We're coming for you. Do you think you got away last night? You did. Okay. So when you hear that banging on the door, it will be us. We're coming with search warrants and we're coming with arrest warrants, says Deputy Commissioner Francis Healy. That should just make you sleep well at night. That if you happen to be at one of these events, maybe you weren't participating in any of that. Maybe you legit went to see some Hellcats parked on the side of the road. They're going to be beating down your door now to arrest you. And if you got weed in your house while they arrest you, guess what? You're going to get a weed charge too. And then they're going to stack up more and more charges against you as they go through your house from the arrest warrant. Tell me again why Thomas Jefferson said we shouldn't have police. Something about, you know, a standing army. Something to that degree. Can't stand. Can't stand. Just around the corner from the visible aftermath outside City Hall on Sunday, a gathering of motorcycles and other vehicles for Philly Ride for Peace rode down Broad Street. I saw the street when I came around. Horrible. So, motorcycles are exempt? It just says, they just told everybody, no large gatherings. And a bunch of motorcyclists showed up right outside City Hall. Nothing happened to them. We have no tolerance for lawlessness. Real bikers who love this sport, this is our passion. We're totally against that. If you want to do burnouts, go to Maple Grove, go to Cecil County. They got racetracks. If you want to do that kind of stuff, go to the track. Don't do it in our city. This is where we live. This is where we stay. You fucking pussy. And that was Pastor Willie Singletary. Yeah, pussy. Again. Part of the lure of a lot of the car meets is the fact that you're not doing it at a racetrack. Because doing it at a racetrack, you got to carry insurance and all that other stuff. The kids just want to get together and look at their cars and show off their cars. And again, I understand a lot of them will get out of control. I get it. Because again, they're a bunch of raging, horny kids. And if they start drinking or using drugs, shit's going to happen. They're not out there murdering anybody, though. So some rubbish is set on fire. As long as it doesn't turn into like a four-block fire, who gives a shit? Do you know how many rubbish fires we started as kids? I don't, but I can tell you it was a lot. We used to have firecracker wars. We threw them at each other. Shit caught on fire. Usually your friend's pants, but still, stuff caught on fire. And we used to do car meets like this all the time. I had a crappy-ass car. I would never enter my car into the car meets, but I would always show up to the car meets. And yeah, people would do burnouts, or they would even drag race up and down whatever street we were on. But it was always late at night. We did it in summer. We weren't trying to wake anybody up. We did it away from most of where people were. We used to have a place that was called Racetrack Road, or a racetrack. It's over by a racetrack. A horse racetrack, and we used to use that road. Derby Parkway is the name of it, and we used to sit out there and do it. Nobody ever did anything crazy. Now, yeah, we were racing for pink slips and stuff like that, and when the cops would show up, everybody would jump in their car and take off, because that's what you do. You don't sit there and try and jump on their police cars to be like, hey, fellas, look at me. I'm going to jail. Yay. That's just stupid. The car meet is over. Get in your car and leave. And if something is set on fire, I don't know who did it. Am I wrong? And finally, the last thing that I'm going to talk about on today's episode, which is episode 5 of Nick's Take for September 24th, 2024, is actual election interference being done by the Biden-Harris administration. And this story should be way bigger than it actually is. Zelensky attacks Trump and Vance to the U.S. media as he tours an ammo plant in Pennsylvania at taxpayers' expenses. So the taxpayers paid for this lunatic to come over here to tour a munitions plant where we're going to be sending him a bunch of missiles and bullets and all kinds of things for him to play with in his losing war and unwinnable war with Russia. And we paid for it because the Biden-Harris administration sent him a plane to get on. And it was a military plane. And then once he gets here, they're like, oh, hey, since we just paid for you to come over here, do you think you can say something about the election? Just a little something about the election. That's election interference, people, from a foreign asset. This is actual election interference. And I can't tell you how many people on X I saw applauding the fact that the Harris administration, Biden-Harris administration, actually had Zelensky come over here so the Americans could hear how he thinks and how he feels about Trump. Of course he's going to tell them he hates Trump. They're telling him, hey, we'll give you a million more bullets or munitions, if you say something bad about Trump. And he went out there and he did. I don't think Trump knows what he's talking about. Thank you. Pretty much. But Biden and Harris arranged the whole thing. And the Pennsylvania governor, funny that it's Pennsylvania again, that took him around the ammo depot should be impeached immediately. Because he took a foreign dignitary into American stockpiles and let him basically walk around and look at it. I don't care if you think they're an ally or not. They're not supposed to be doing that. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky is bashing former President Donald Trump and his running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, attacking them in American media outlets and touring an ammunition factory in Pennsylvania Sunday, reportedly arriving at the taxpayers' expense on an Air Force jet. I love how they say reportedly. You legit see this motherfucker getting off the plane. Like, it lands. Here comes Zelensky. Maybe he rode the plane. How the fuck else did he get there? The New Yorker has an exhaustive piece on Zelensky penned by Joshua Yaffa stating that the Ukrainian leader speaks with the urgency of leaders who know that he may be facing his last best chance for sustainable foreign assistance as President Biden's presidential term is coming to an end. The Q&A in the piece is revealing as Zelensky openly attacks Trump, asserting that he, quote, doesn't really know how to stop the war, even if he might think he knows how. Right. With this war, oftentimes the deeper you look at it, the less you understand. I've seen many leaders who were convinced they knew how to end it tomorrow, and they waded deeper into it. They realized it's not that simple, he said, ripping Trump's running man Vance as too radical. Vance has come out with more of a precise plan, he said to the New Yorker. Vance has come out with more precise plan, the New Yorker asked as Zelensky chimed in, to give up our territories. Your words, not mine, but yes, this is the gist of it, the New Yorker continued as Zelensky continued to essentially criticize Trump and Vance. He said, quote, his message seems to be that Ukraine must make a sacrifice. This brings us back to the question of the cost and who shoulders it. The idea that the world should end this war at Ukraine's expense is unacceptable, but I do not consider this concept of his plan in any formal sense. This would be an awful idea if a person were actually going to carry it out, to make Ukrainians shoulder the cost of stopping a war by giving up its territories. But there's certainly no way this could ever happen. This kind of scenario, you would have no basis in international norms, in UN statute, in justice. And it wouldn't necessarily end the war either. It's just slandering. This dude is a gay comedian. And now he's running a country. Like, I applaud the Ukrainians for allegedly electing him. Very progressive of you. But he got your country into a war. And I don't think he knows how to get it out. And he's just begging the U.S. and other people to keep funding it because he doesn't want to be the one that loses to Russia. Newsflash, you're going to lose to Russia. You are, unless the U.S. gets involved to help you even more than we already are. It would be one thing if these were just interviews, but according to reports, Zelensky, who has been busying himself criticizing the Republican ticket for president, flew into the United States touring an ammunition factory in the key swing state of Pennsylvania on Sunday. Further, it seems he arrived to the facility on a U.S. Air Force C-17. In other words, he arrived on the U.S. taxpayers' dime. Donald Trump Jr. is among those who pointed out the absurdity of this entire stunt, saying, quote, so a foreign leader who has received billions of dollars in funding from the American taxpayers, comes to our country and has the nerve to attack the GOP ticket for president, he asked, noting the timing of this particular poor as this is particularly poor, as a man with an obsession with Ukraine attempted to murder his father just 1 week ago. And he does this right after a pro-Ukrainian zealot tried to assassinate my father. Disgraceful, Don Jr. added. It should be noted that in June, Vice President Kamala Harris promised another $1.5 billion to Ukraine. And we still only gave the Maui residents $700. During a recent interview on X Spaces, Trump said he will end the Russian-Ukrainian war as president-elect. I want to get to Russia. I want to get to Russia to settle up with Ukraine and stop this. Millions of people are being killed, far greater than the number you read about. But I want to get it done before I even take office. I want to get that done as president-elect because it has to be solved. Too many people are dying. Too many cities are just in rubble right now. You look at the cultures just being destroyed. We've got to get that done, and I'll get it done. There wouldn't have been an attack. There wouldn't have been an October 7th. There wouldn't have been Russia attacking Ukraine. There wouldn't have been inflation, all of this inflation, which has hurt people so badly. You wouldn't have had any of that horrible type of withdrawal. We were getting out of Afghanistan, but with dignity and strength. That was the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country. And frankly, Russia would have never gone into Ukraine if it wasn't for that, Trump added. Pointing to the weakness of the Biden-Harris administration, he said, they looked at that and they said, this country is no longer run by Trump. This country is run by stupid people. The man is a few words, but when he gives you the words, they tend to be zingers sometimes. I think a lot of people would agree this country is currently being run by a bunch of idiots. I don't think it's necessarily President Biden running the country because I don't think the man could tell his tongue from his nose right now. And he would probably get scared by both. And I do not mean that in a disrespectful manner, but take it however you see it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is episode 5 of Nick's Take. Again, you can go to nickstake.com where I will archive this and put everything up with the show notes where you can click on all of this to read more about it yourself. We will, of course, discuss more of this tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're actually going to be talking about Venezuelan gangs and how this is something that's becoming a bigger problem than the administration wants you to know about. That's going to be on tomorrow's show, episode 6, so be sure to watch that. If you miss it, you'll still be able to listen to it, or you can pay to watch the archive of it. But for now, that's going to do it for me. I can't leave without giving you my customary goodbye, and that is hug your loved ones each and every day because you never know when the good Lord will call them home. For every dark night, there's always a brighter day, and life's just a party, and parties weren't meant to last. Again, if you want to learn more about me, you can follow me on all of the socials. I am at Nick B Talks on all of them. If you want to follow the show's socials, I'm a lot more active on X at It's Nick's Take. Go there, follow me, follow everything at Nick's Take on all socials because I'm going to get way more active. When Afterthoughts with a Cigar will be airing just as soon as I get home and get my cigar and get everything set up. So for that, that's going to do it. I'll see you guys tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for Nick B in the morning. Y'all be good, y'all be safe, and I'll see you for Afterthoughts later today.
Wow, that was something. The proceeding was produced by Nick B. Entertainment. All rights reserved. Don't even think about using any portion of the show without the express written consent of Nick B. Entertainment. We'll get you. To learn more, subscribe, or to see what the hell we're up to, visit www.nickbnation.com. Y'all be good, and we'll see you next time.